This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're taking you to Beijing right here at the top. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Of course, we're going to get to gas prices infuriating a lot of people. This is life, right? As oil shoots up a barrel, you're going to pay for it in the end, wherever it is that you live, a little bit higher on the West Coast. Also, what's happening in the air and whether or not there really should be people that are booted from planes that are put on a no-fly list, much like terrorists. All right, no joke, we are vying, we, the United States, for a medal. If you're listening to us in Canada, Canada is beating the U.S. women's hockey team 3-1. It is midway through the third period, the U.S. trying to claw back into this game, but at least there's going to be a medal. That means there will be 20, whatever happens here, because right now the U.S. stands at 19. Also, Mikaela Shiffrin has one more run, the slalom run, in the combined, the U.S. alpine skier, who's been tremendously fun to watch, but tremendously sad. In the past, watching her was amazing, but she's had some stumbles and fumbles in these games. And I love the way that she is just so truthful. She has such candor when she talks about the misses. And so many people have reached out to her, but so that moment, I think, has been interesting to watch, kind of inspiring, actually, to watch her. And I would love for her to grab a medal in this last one, and that would bump the U.S. up even more. In the Ukraine, it's about survival. People are still doing what they normally do, by all accounts. But now, even though Vladimir Putin says, oh, they're pulling back troops. In fact, the word is that they've added more, like 7,000 more. So something north of 150,000 troops are ready to roll right there on the border. Yikes. What does it mean for all of us in the United States? Higher prices on certain things. Absolutely, because it's that oil war. Russia controls 10% of it globally. Did you know that? 10%. That's a heck of a lot, isn't it? Absolutely. It's a lot. All right, let's dive right into it at the top as I just kind of skimmed there over the Olympics. What's going on in the Ukraine is it's not a pullback. Instead, that's just a false narrative. But we're used to these false narratives from Putin's camp, and it's not a drawdown. It's actually adding more troops by every indication. This from our intelligence people who are watching what's going on. And, you know, ultimately, what does it mean when you see more armed tanks and helicopters and even a field hospital moving toward the Ukrainian borders? That, to me, is scary, because what does that mean? What is the intention there? We know what the intention is. I mean, Russia's growing military capabilities and their willingness to use the threat of war is absolutely pretty potent. It is clear Putin does not want the Ukraine to join NATO, to stand on its own, and instead he wants to add to his block of countries. And we've seen this act before when we look at the Crimea in 2014 and Russia annexing the Crimea. So what does it mean for NATO? Britain has said that it's going to double the size of its force in Estonia under NATO command. The British Defense Secretary said in a statement that it's clear that an invasion of the Ukraine is going to be met with severe consequences. The United States and its partners have said the alliance's open-door policy is non-negotiable, but progress could be made on some other issues, including reciprocal arms control measures and limitations on military exercises. I mean, that's what we're talking about as a deal with Russia, but I don't think that this will in any way dissuade Putin. In the meantime, the Ukrainians are doing, like I mentioned at the top, what they normally do, but they wake up not knowing, is this the day? It has to be very strange. Is this the day our lives change? The people are talking about war, and will it happen? But they continue to work, and they continue to go about their lives while everything around them is falling apart. The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is going to meet with NATO's leaders and also the leaders of three Baltic states. Germany's foreign ministry announced on Wednesday that foreign ministers of the Group of Seven nations are going to hold crisis talks on the Ukraine on the meeting sidelines of that. So there's contradictory claims from Russia about the troop withdrawals. All signs are not pointing in a very, very good direction. So every time you look up from playing Wordle, just know you could be hearing the breaking news that there has been an invasion. And of course, we have troops that would be involved on the NATO side of things. On the NATO side of things. And what does that mean? We don't know till we see what this, what the invasion would look like. But it doesn't spell anything good, I can tell you that, for sure, because after getting out of Afghanistan and Iraq, and I'm not suggesting the Ukraine would be that, because it wouldn't be, are we kind of weary of stepping into yet another territory? But we are bound with our position in NATO, and absolutely there's going to be some involvement. The war on masking and vaccine takes another turn, this time in Virginia. A new law is going to require Virginia public schools to make masks, yes, optional. So your choice. You decide whether or not your child wears a mask. Some schools are just, you know, no masks, but I think if somebody brought a mask, of course they would wear it. But this is exactly what they're saying, that this is what we've decided to do, and that's pretty close. That's a few weeks from now. And there are other states that are loosening some of the tighter restrictions that were out there. We've been seeing that for the last couple of weeks. So certainly we're seeing a changing of the guard because of the dramatic shift in Omicron cases, where over, you know, COVID-19 has dropped, positive cases have dropped 44%, so that's pretty high. Very scary when you hear more details of what happened at that Texas synagogue. The hostage taker was looking for cocaine, meth, and a machine gun before the attack, according to the FBI. So the British man who took those hostages last month was trying to do that, was trying to buy all of that from the felon who ultimately sold him a pistol used in the kidnapping. But Malik Akram was looking for heavy weaponry in the days before he took the rabbi and three others hostages at Beth Israel in Colleyville, Texas. Wow, that could have ended up a lot differently than it did. And it was pretty scary how many hours they were being held hostage. And then ultimately, thank goodness, they got out of there. And of course, Akram was killed, but the felon is not off the hook. He is going to be tried for selling that gun. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Is All Glory to God, Intuitions of a Priest. Father Jose Lucero joins us. Father, thanks for coming on.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy. Thank you.
So you and I had a great off-air conversation about all kinds of things that happened in your life that led you in a direction, really, of writing this book, including losing a brother in 2006 at just 30 years old. So let's talk about that. What was your road to deciding, I'm going to put this book together and put it out there in the world?
There were things that happened before my brother died, conversations that he and I had, and then he died, and then people who had kind of spoken about, like his daughter, for example, was 3 years old. She's like, well, why is everybody sad? My papa's right here next to me. And things like that. And I thought, wow. I mean, I'd always heard that little children can see, you know, spirits or angels or even Jesus. And so after he passed, I started thinking about just telling his story. And then 2 years later, my sister passed. And so then I knew I needed to tell both their stories because similar things happened prior to her death, kind of intuitions that I had. And then, I don't know, I just thought to myself after a conversation she and I were having in August about Christmas, and it was just like, this is too much. And I thought, I wonder if she's not going to make it to next Christmas. And she passed November 13th. So we ended up having Christmas in August because of this intuition that I had. And so just things like that that happened, and just I started writing their story since 2008. It took me a long time to put all this together.
Yeah, no kidding. And so there's got to be incredible comfort in that, though, that, like, again, knowing that it's sort of this peaceful transition. I don't know how to describe it. You said, you know, there's a thing called an ominous dream. Tell us about that.
So sometimes people will dream and they'll say, I don't know if I had this dream or if it was real or if it was a dream. Like they go back and forth. An ominous dream is that something actually happened, but we weren't in our waking state to know that it happened because it seemed like it was just a dream. And typically people will tell these stories when they're in asleep. They'll say somebody came to the foot of my bed and, you know, just I felt this spirit of peacefulness, or I just felt like somebody was trying to give me a message. And so that's what it's called, is a luminous dream, because Well, it's real. It was a real experience that somebody had, and perhaps it was a message that was meant to come across. And typically it's a message of peacefulness and just a message of joy, that the person who has passed on is at peace and is in, you know, experiencing joy.
What a wonderful gift to give to everybody to know that, because I know a lot of us struggle with this. A numbness, is that how you say it, dream. Wow, that is really something to think about. Tell us more about the book. What can people expect when they read your book, All Glory to God, Intuitions of a Priest?
Well, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she says to me, can I put it out there on Facebook that I just finished reading your book, and that if people want the book, they better have a box of Kleenex right next to them. So I think the idea behind it really is just to tell people, let them know, the reader know, that they can grieve. Grieving is natural. However, we're not supposed to grieve forever. And I think that's why I told these stories, to share, to kind of get it out. So the idea to help heal our grieving is to tell stories, to share stories of our loved ones. And in the telling of the story, our pain is moved to healing. Eventually, we're able to celebrate their lives as opposed to mourn their death forever. So that's the idea, is to help the person grieve, but then also to let them know, if you experience your loved one, like my sister who came to run her fingers through my hair one Christmas in 2010, and I was, of course, shocked. But yeah, sometimes God allows them to reveal themselves to us, to let us know that they are, in fact, okay, that they are at peace, that they are in heaven, really. That's what we believe, right?
Right, yeah. So tell us about your sister. I mean, she was only 43 when she died, and you said you were shocked. So what happened?
The story of her running to her fingers through my
hair. Yeah, yeah.
So just kind of rewinding to the day that we were talking about Christmas, and I've always known that she loved Christmas, and I love Christmas so much, so we ended up having Christmas in August. So then she dies that November in 2008. In 2010, I was in one of my communities in San Francisco, and I was decorating for Christmas. I was decorating this Christmas tree that looked like a Snoopy Christmas tree, actually. We had to literally tie it to the wall so it wouldn't fall over. And it looked so beautiful at the end. It was about 3 in the morning when it was finally all decorated. And I thought, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to enjoy this beautiful tree. And then I said out loud, sister, I know you loved Christmas, and I'm just letting you know that I'm here, and I dedicate this tree to you. I just want you to be able to enjoy it as much as I enjoy it. And then she came and she ran her fingers through my hair. Of course, I fell back on the sofa, scared. But it was like, wow, how nice that her presence was there with me as I was talking to her.
When you talk to parishioners in the parish that you're in, do you talk about this? Do you give them that comfort and tell them about grief, and it's okay to grieve, and that you may see these things and it could be a peaceful experience?
I do. I every time I offer a Mass of Resurrection, a funeral, when somebody passes away, and during my sermon or homily during that particular Mass, which is every time I have a funeral, I talk about this. To let people know it's okay to tell stories about your loved one. It's okay to talk to each other. And if you experience them, talk about that too, because it's real. It's not a figment of your imagination. And a gentleman here at the parish actually gave a beautiful example. He said that his father-in-law used to always come and run his fingers through his back, like whenever they were alive. Instead of giving him a handshake or a hug, he would say, hey, how you doing? And he'd run his fingers through his back. So when his father-in-law passed, he was in the back of his garden one day just talking or praying out loud, and his father-in-law came and ran his fingers through his back.
Wow.
And he said, and I just knew it was him, because nobody's ever done that to me, just him. And he was letting me know that he's okay. So, yeah, I think people know this happens. Maybe they're just afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
So the idea of this book is to say, don't be afraid to talk about it. It's real, and it's okay to talk about these things.
It's okay to talk about these things. You're right. All Glory to God, Intuitions of a Priest. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And I imagine you are a very peaceful person.
I can be. People always tell me when I sing or when I talk or preach, they tell me, your voice is so soothing and you put me to sleep, or you bring me peace. People always tell me, especially when I sing. So I thought that was nice that people would notice that.
That's a nice, nice compliment. Father, thank you so much for coming on, and so interesting in talking about grief and how people should be able to let it out and how they should be able to let those feelings go through them. And it's very, very tough. I think it's one of the toughest things that people deal with in life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, so interesting. I know people have that experiences, have had experiences like that. Have you had that where you feel like somebody that died has visited you, or you wake up and he's talking about those dreams? And it's I've heard a lot of people talk about that. So one thing that we are talking about is the average price for gas right now is $3.47, but because of where we're headed with a barrel, it could really shoot up even more. In fact, the national average that I just gave you is up almost 17 cents a gallon from just a month ago, and almost $1 a gallon from 1 year ago. Of course, the highest prices are in California. That's no surprise. If you spend any time, you know, $5 a gallon almost, and then it gets higher from there with the premiums, et cetera, and say they're talking about the possibility of $7 for gas. Ooh, time to get that bicycle out. Or maybe you would fly, but if you fly somewhere, don't become an unruly passenger. So, look, we saw this happen in December. There was testimony about flight attendants becoming, you know, and crews becoming punching bags overall. And Sarah Nelson, the head of a union that represents about 50,000 flight attendants, when she was testifying in front of Congress, said the government needs to create a centralized list of banned passengers for all airlines so they can share it. But there's some pushback on that, that if we have an unruly flyers list, would it kind of be the equivalence of what we have with the no-fly terrorist list, that kind of thing? Or is this the way it should be? Should we have that list, right? I think if something is really heinous and they're wild and out of control, like this guy the other day where they had to land a plane in Kansas City because he was trying to open the door and he was, you know, had a plastic knife that he was making like a shiv, and it was just ridiculous. They had to smash him on the head with a coffee pot. Passengers had to help subdue him because he was such a big guy. And then one of the passengers had to suck him on the jaw even. I mean, he was going after people. It was ridiculous. How can you let that guy fly? So it might just be case by case. I mean, so far, there are airlines that may kick people off, but not an overall list. But I think that's being talked about more and more, because before the pandemic, you really hardly ever heard of this. The FAA didn't track them even. They had no tracking of unruly passengers. But this time around, 2021, 2022, 6,300 unruly passenger incidents. Wow. 4,500 related to masks. Hang with us. Just the Facts coming up next, and then the Man Cave.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The Canadian House of Commons erupted in shouts of condemnation on Wednesday after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau replied to a Jewish member of Parliament by stating this.
Mr. Speaker, Conservative Party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag. We will choose to stand with Canadians who deserve to be able to get to their jobs, who be able to get their lives back. These illegal protests need to stop, and they will, Mr. Speaker.
Trudeau has doubled down on members of the Freedom Convoy in recent days. And here in the States, the CDC is expected to loosen guidance on indoor masking as early as next week, citing a drop in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. This is USA Radio News. GOP senators are weighing in on inflation.
A group of Republican senators held a press conference at the U.S. Capitol Wednesday to address rising consumer costs and urged President Biden to encourage less government spending and do more to address the crisis. The conference comes after data released last week shows that the consumer price index for January increased 7.5% compared to a year ago. Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott explains how his state is feeling the effects of inflation.
People are going to food banks. They never went to food banks before. People are taking second and third odd jobs. Food's up, gas is up, rent's up. It's all caused by bad economic policy.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A new Politico poll shows President Biden's continued struggle to win support from the American people, with just 43% expressing approval of Biden's job performance. This is USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Time for just the facts. As I know them to be true. It seems that everybody is flocking to Florida. Well, not everybody, because you're listening to me and you probably hail from all kinds of different places. We have wonderful affiliates across the country. But check this out. This is, honestly, according to the Consumer Price Index, rents in Florida, well, rents nationally went up 3.8% on average in 2021. Of the 10 cities with the highest average rent increase, 6 are in Florida, and Miami isn't even on the list. Who's on the list? Naples, Florida, 38%. Sarasota, 31%. West Palm, 29%. Fort Myers, 26%. Tampa, 25%. So why the higher rates? Axios says there's a couple of things that are working together to make this happen. The increase in remote work during the pandemic has pushed workers to warmer climates, Florida, Texas, and Arizona. So with more demand, home prices are on the rise, and because of the higher home prices, some people are choosing to rent instead and kind of wait it out. So it's the classic case of, we know, supply and demand, right? The warmer weather, remote work, it completely makes sense, and you could see it happening. But I'm surprised Miami wasn't on the list. You look at the other places and they're all, except for one, West Palm, they're all on the west coast of Florida, so the other coast of Florida. This was kind of a surprise. The avocado imports the day before the Super Bowl had to be paused. The U.S. paused them because a U.S. plant safety inspector in Mexico received a threat. So this was crazy. I mean, the Super Bowl, it's all about chips and guac and, you know, Mexican avocados, the Mexican avocado growers. That's a huge moment. But they suspended all imports until further notice because of that threat. The ban came on the day that the Avocado Growers and Packers Association unveiled its Super Bowl ad for the year. So Mexico has acknowledged that the U.S. government suspended all imports because of what happened to that plant safety inspector. The surprise temporary suspension was confirmed late Saturday on the eve of the Super Bowl. So check this out. The biggest sale opportunity of the year for Mexican avocado growers is then. It didn't affect game day consumption because the avocados had already been shipped. But avocado exports are the latest victim of the drug cartel turf battles and the extortion of avocado growers. I'm so not surprised by what we're hearing in the western areas of Mexico, the only state in Mexico where Mexico is authorized to export to the U.S. market. So the U.S. government suspended the avocados until further notice. They had to make that decision. So it was crazy because you had the ad this year that showed Julius Caesar and a rough bunch of gladiator fans outside of what appears to be the Colosseum soothing their apparently violent differences by enjoying, what do you think? Avocados, guacamole and avocados. So it's interesting because the industry has almost $3 billion in annual exports. $3 billion. Avocados are popular. Avocado toast, guacamole. A lot of people love avocados. There's no question about it. It was only in 1997 that the U.S. lifted a ban on Mexican avocados that had been in place since 1914. I didn't even know this, to prevent a range of weevils, scabs, and pests from coming in to U.S. orchards. So that was starting to happen. It was infiltrating and causing the demise of other crops. They didn't allow that. So now you think, wow, this is a big deal to see this killed off, at least temporarily anyway. Because what are they going to do? They've got to pay attention to what's happening with these threats. All right, this is interesting, I think. So we go from avocados, you see how it is here on Just the Facts, to mattresses. In 2020, King mattresses made up 20.4% of mattress sales industry-wide. That's up 1% from 2018, and that equals about 225,000 more King mattresses sold. So you think 2020, pandemic, people spending more time at home, I'm exhausted, I need more space, give me some more space. And probably that's true because you were with your significant other, spouse, whatever, more perhaps than before. Well, yeah, because if you were remote working, you're constantly bumping into each other in the apartment or the house or, you know, whatever it might be. So that makes sense to me. I've been waiting for this to happen with NFTs, non-fungible tokens. So in Just the Facts, check this out. UK authorities seized three NFTs in association with a $1.9 million fraud case. It's the first time the country has seized non-fungible tokens. Now, you know there's going to be counterfeit and problems with that, you know, etc. NFTs are digital assets designed to track ownership of the virtual items, such as art and video game characters, that kind of thing. And officials at Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs say they seized the NFTs during the investigation into a suspected value-added tax fraud case. Three suspects arrested on suspicion of attempting to defraud the tax man, right? Now, this is how they do it. This is the key thing of this whole story in Just the Facts, and I'm telling you, the suspects allegedly tried to claim back more VAT, which is a type of sales tax, than what they were owed, using a mix of stolen identities, unregistered phones, false invoices to hide their identities. The scheme involved 250 alleged fake companies, according to HMRC. So that's interesting. That's how they were trying to disguise that. And of course, demand for NFTs has soared lately, with the sale of tokens topping $40 billion in 2021. But the market is going to be prone to thefts and scams. And there is concern that much of the trading activity in NFTs has been fueled by market manipulation tactics like wash trading. So keep an eye on that. You know, it was a couple of weeks ago and we had Nancy Kerrigan on, and she's an NFT, part of a wonderful collection from Dolphin Entertainment. And I think this space is interesting to watch in general, but of course you have to pay attention to what could possibly happen, how you could get squeezed if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're looking at. It was just this week, just a day ago, that if we went back to 1965 and a time machine, Canada adopted its maple leaf flag. The country had been trying to get a new flag not linked to the British Empire since 1925. Doesn't that feel like a long time to figure out the flag thing? So since 1925 until 1965, they couldn't figure out the flag. Now, they picked a good one because I think the maple leaf flag really stands out. You know immediately it's Canada. Oh, Canada, right? Absolutely. So kudos on figuring it out. But wow, on taking all that time to try and figure it out, right? Just saying. I mean, I guess sometimes it takes longer than one would think. You know, maybe that's the deal. I'm not sure. All right. Moving on to some more interesting tidbits here and just the facts as I know them to be true. I talk about this a lot on the show. You know, psychologists who are specializing in entrepreneurs' well-being, they're trying to figure out some of the best ways to fight burnout. And I think burnout is across the board, actually. And I saw this in The Hustle, which is just a great source. And they talked about if you're feeling depleted running your business, you're dealing with more than just a rough patch, burnout is now officially recognized as an international classification of diseases according to the World Health Organization. In fact, burnout officially became that in 2019, so that was even before the pandemic. So The Hustle did a survey of more than 300 entrepreneurs. 63% of business owners reported that they dealt with or are currently dealing with burnout. And burnout can be problematic, of course, if you're a founder, you wear a lot of different hats. I completely understand that. Financial concerns, work-life balance, day-to-day stress, that fatigue with the pandemic, I think, just added to it. 84% of business owners say there is a stigma around mental health in the community, though 61% of the group agree it's getting better. Mental health stigma can make finding help more difficult and cause a lot of people to suffer in silence, and we completely get that. And burnout is a condition that is defined by a couple of things: exhaustion, feelings of cynicism or detachment from your work, and a sense of ineffectiveness. You know, that's when you get out and you figure out, okay, you have this lack of motivation or I'm detached. Some of you are listening to this, you may feel that. So what do I need to do? You need to distance yourself from the work. You need to meet up with people. My suggestions, take a walk. I mean, walk somewhere, go somewhere, do something, get out, especially if you're working remotely, get out of the house. Get out of the house. That's the way I think you get rid of burnout. Because if you're doing the same thing, I mean, we know what that is. It's ridiculous if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. All right, sleep, it can be a thief. Sleep is tough. Sometimes I have insomnia. Some of you probably suffer from the same thing. There's a thing that I'm going to try. It's called Aura. And it's a $1 billion startup, and they sell these titanium rings. Now they're $300, but they track activity, heart, oxygen levels. I know a couple of guys that are speakers, some of my friends that got these rings, and they swear by it. They say it has made such a difference. Other people say, you know what, look at this thing called 8 Sleep. They have these mattresses that heat and cool you with your body temperature throughout the night. Now, it's called the Lamborghini of mattresses, so that scares me. I can only imagine how much that costs. And then, of course, there's a good old-fashioned thing to do. Take a book to bed. Read the book. Don't watch TV before bed. Yeah, that's easy to do. I am full of suggestions. If I've solved the dilemma, I'll let you know. That's just the facts, as I know them to be true. Man Cave next. Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaney.com.
radio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome to the Man Cave, or Woe Man Cave, or a little bit of both. It was about the celebration in Los Angeles. There was a shirtless Aaron Donald. There were all kinds of giant bottles of champagne. On Sunday, the Rams won their first Super Bowl since they moved back to L.A. from St. Louis in 2016. They beat the Bengals, as you all know, 23-20, SoFi Stadium, their home turf. Cooper Kupp, the MVP of the Super Bowl, rocked his own jersey. And then the late Lakers legend Kobe Bryant's jersey, he had that very visible. Odell Beckham Jr. sprayed champagne on fans. L.A. native J-Rock performed at the conclusion of the parade, and boy, oh boy, it looked like a lot of fun, I have to say. You know, the weather's warm, it's Southern California, and people have reason to celebrate. So seeing Aaron Donald without a shirt on and a big super gold chain and this huge grin on his face was so interesting. And then the Hollywood sign was changed to Rams House to honor the Rams, the NFL Super Bowl champs. So if you had driven by, that's what you would have seen. And Matt Stafford was glowing from ear to ear, hanging with his wife, smoking a cigar and waving to the fans. It looked like there were a lot of fans that turned out for the victory celebration at the Coliseum. And like I said, it ended with a live performance from J-Rock. So congratulations to them once again. Now we have no football, and it's all about what happens next. And speaking of Aaron Donald, is he going to retire? What's going to happen? You know, we don't know for sure. The one thing that is being said is, just maybe, would he just come back for one more team? And in fact, Donald said, we build a super team, we can bring the super back. And the crowd went crazy, and he said, why not run it back? We can be the world champs again. So, I don't know, maybe Aaron Donald changes his mind, and he decides after, at age 31,
after, you know, having the incredible season that he had and being the defensive juggernaut on that team, maybe he decides he's going to come back for a little bit more. We almost let him in the man cave, by the way, right there. So if I were the Rams, if I were Sean McVay, the coach, I would want him to come back. He was so he was noncommittal on Sunday night after the win. But now he seems like maybe there's some fluctuation there. I would want him back because I still think he has another year. He could do another year if he wanted to do another year. The Rams, by the way, are the third major L.A. sports team to win a championship in a span of 16 months. But the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Los Angeles Lakers were denied a parade because of COVID-19 restrictions. So this was a big deal in many, many ways. It's been a lot of celebrating over the sports teams in Los Angeles, like I said, over this past 16 months, but not celebrating with parades, which is always a big deal, I think, to the players to be there with the fans. One of the things that was talked about after the Super Bowl, and this is NFL News and Notes, is Cincinnati Bengals coach Zach Taylor made sure the media knew that Joe Burrow has a sprain. He doesn't need surgery because he aggravated a sprained MCL in his right knee in that loss on Sunday. He stayed in the game, even though he limped off the field in the second half, but he doesn't need surgery. So that is actually the good news. Taylor said he doesn't think he needs surgery either to repair a pinky injury he suffered on his throwing hand in the middle of the season. And there's plenty of time, of course, and so now's the time to have those repairs. But the good news, I guess, is that he doesn't need it. So, you know, there you go. Then we look at what's happening in basketball, and we're kind of in the thick of it now. And when I say the thick of it, I mean it's the race to see what happens in the next couple of months and where the teams all end up and, of course, who's going to be there in the end vying for, a championship. And so much was made in what was going on with Ben Simmons. A Brooklyn Nets swingman, Ben Simmons, is trying to get acclimated to his new team. And maybe there's something that's firing up inside of the 25-year-old after the disaster that was at the tail end of his career with the Philadelphia 76ers. So when his veteran guard teammate, Patty Mills, says he sees him having a hunger to be there, to be better, all that stuff, I think it's probably right on. Simmons was picked up last week from the Sixers along with Steph Curry, Andre Drummond, and two future first-round picks in exchange for James Harden and Paul Millsap. So this was it was a move down the road, but still is a big move for Philadelphia and obviously a big move for Brooklyn, and we'll see who ends up getting the better end of that deal. You know, we keep talking about Olympics, 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 and we focused on that right at the top again, and we look at the medal counts, and they're changing as it leaves my lips, but the good news is that we've seen the United States now has moved up as far as the medal count, the overall medal count is concerned, because it was, I said this before, obviously it was looking pretty Spartan in the beginning of the game. So if you look at the U.S. 19 medals and counting, we know another one's coming, so that's at least 20. And the 8 golds are with the asterisks, the hockey team going on right now, playing right now against Canada for the gold medal. It's been a fun ride. It's been interesting in the later part of these games to watch, to see if, you know, who's going to bounce back and what's going to happen in some of these events. Because winter games just are not as popular as the summer games are. But I think there's been, I really do think there's been a lot of athletes to cheer for and to, you know, push them on in what can be their final moments. And you look at even some of the interesting stories from the games, and to me there are quite a bunch of those, like Elena Myers-Taylor. She may retire. She wins in the monobob. She wins silver And she said there's a good chance that she will retire. And she's so fun to watch. Alex Hall getting gold. Nick Gepper snagging the silver in the free ski slopestyle. That was fun to watch. And there are many more stories like that. And there are athletes that will retire after this, after being in several Olympics. The Flying Tomato, for goodness sake, Sean White, he didn't medal at the Beijing Games. We saw him medal many, many times. And I loved his emotional kind of tribute when he was asked about it and talking about other snowboarders in the future and, you know, whatnot, and what an incredible, incredible representation he has been for the United States. I mean, just incredible. Then you've got the story of curling, and that curling houses, I said this the other day on the air, are opening up and people are interested in curling. And you have the U.S. women's curling team out of the Olympics. The men, one more chance to advance to the playoffs at the Games. But watching it, I'm starting to get kind of a sense of curling, and I think it's fascinating. I want to go to one of these curling houses and try my hand at it and see what it's like. But the U.S. men have a chance to repeat as gold medalists as long as they beat Denmark in the final round robin session on Thursday morning. So cross your fingers, and let's hope that that happens. And I think my takeaway is, I used to think curling is not a sport, but now I've changed my mind. I think it is a sport. It's kind of a weird finesse sport in a way. You know, you've got the stone, and you have to be just perfect with where it goes, and you got to watch the red hog line, and, you know, what does it take to score, and how do you get it in there in the just in the right place that it's supposed to end up, and what about your opponents, and are they knocking you out? And I don't know. I watched a bunch of it during these Olympics, and I have to say, I enjoyed it. All right, I enjoy celebrating milestones, and I watch this guy skate a lot, and I've interviewed him a lot in the past. Sidney Crosby with his 500th career goal. So he actually joins Mario Lemieux as the only Pittsburgh Penguin to reach that feat. He is the captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he broke a 1-1 tie with the Philadelphia Flyers into the first period. He scored on the power play with an assist from Evgeny Malkin, and he, you know, the Penguins won in overtime, so that made it, I guess, that much sweeter. But 500 is a big mark. The entire Penguins team celebrated. And, you know, even the Flyers were giving him kudos. That's a very, very big deal. It's his 14th goal of the season, but to net 500 in your career. Lemieux, by the way, who led the Penguins to two Stanley Cups in the 90s, finished his career with 690 goals. Wow. All right. Thanks so much for listening to this version of the show. Big shout out to Nathan Reeder for his help as always on the technicals. He's the ultimate sound man. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.